Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
She hates me, and I love it. Wait, where you going? I'm leaving you. No, you ain't come back. We're running right back. Here we go again. It's so insane, because when it's going good, it's going great. I'm Superman with the wind in his back. She's Lois Lane, but when it's bad, it's awful. I feel so ashamed. Now snap, who's that dude? I don't even know his name. I laid hands.
This soundcheck, I'm John Schaefer. At the Grammys this Sunday, all eyes will be on Album of the Year and the much-talked-about Aretha Franklin tribute, and we'll be wondering how many wins Eminem will get from his 10 nominations for this album, Recovery. But we want to draw your attention for the moment elsewhere. We're heading off the beaten path to look at the quirky categories, the unsung heroes, and the dusty gems among this year's Grammy nominees. And here to dig deep with us is music writer for Time Out New York, Sophie Harris, joining me in the studio. Hi, Sophie.
Hey, John.
And with us from the studios of the Washington Post in Washington, D.C. is Chris Richards, their pop music critic. Chris, welcome back. I think we have Chris with us, but we'll start with you, Sophie. Chris is actually on his way to the Grammys this weekend, and he will be watching not nearly even just the tip of the iceberg. I mean, what do they? They show like 10 categories
they
on the broadcast.
Such a tiny little fraction of it. And it's funny because if you look at some of these lesser known categories that we're going to be exploring, it's if you look up a clip on YouTube, say, you might get a presenter saying, "Hello, everybody. Welcome to this afternoon's ceremony." And it's like, obviously, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. There's three people sitting there, a little quiet round of applause. It goes on a very long time.
Because there are 109 categories. Chris Richards, does it seem like everybody gets a Grammy when you're sitting through all of them? Still not hearing Chris, who's joining us from D.C. We'll get that we'll get that worked out. But you know, it seems like, Sophie, the more obscure the category, the better your chances of getting
funny.
A statue.
It's the only time in the pop world where the more obscure you are, exactly, your chances are greater. I mean, it's funny. I often think about this because I'm at Time Out New York and I was at Time Out in London. And it's a constant debate at Time Outs all around the world. Who goes in what category? Because as you know, we sort our listings out, you know, rock and pop and world and blues. And, you know, occasionally we'll have these arguments. He's not blues. Oh, he's rock. And there's almost a sense of if you put something in this box, then it's getting less expensive. Exposure, it's somehow kind of ghettoized. So the Grammys fascinates me for precisely that reason.
Well, as I said, there's 109 categories, and it was almost 110. But we have to mourn the loss of Polka. Let me try once more. Chris Richards, you with us? Ugh. Mom always said there would be days like this.
maybe it's his polka protest. He's stashing a pair of lederhosen.
There's Chris.
Suitcase.
Chris, are you shocked and stunned and appalled by the removal of the polka category from the Grammys?
Well, the polka category was taken out last year because I guess they just didn't have enough albums being submitted for the category, which is a similar problem that another category has had this year.
Mexican regional.
Exactly. Mexican regional. They only had 10 submissions, you know, so you have a 1 in 2 chance of being the nominee. They took that category out this year. So actually, there's only 108 categories this year. So got to have more albums from the polka world. Got to have more albums from the Mexican artists, you know, to make it happen.
Well, they actually did make the decision to leave Best Regional Mexican, the Grammy category, as a you can actually see it on the list of categories, whereas the, the polka category is just gone by fiat of the National Academy of Recording Arts and Sciences, which means that this guy, Jimmy Sturr, who won the Polka Award Grammy 18 out of its 24 years, well, his run is over.
Down where the weather is nice, sunshine and tropical breezes, as I polka in paradise. I hear the voice of the ocean calling me to the sun. Palm trees are all in motion, and the girls just wanna have fun. I'll be dancing barefoot on the beaches, down where the weather is nice.
That is Jimmy Sturr, the King of Polka. He won the Best Polka Album Grammy, 18 out of the 24 years, which Probably, I would think Sophie had something to do with Naris, which runs the Grammys, saying, you know what, maybe this category isn't
exactly
such a good idea.
It's basically a bit like saying best John Schaefer in a John Schaefer vocal outfit. It's like, it's going to go to
and
you.
And I still wouldn't win that one. Chris, you've been looking through some of the lesser known categories and have found a hidden gem here and there. What caught your eye in Best Historical Album? First of all, who knew that there was such a category?
Yeah, it's category number 90. It's way deep in there. But there's a compilation on there called The Complete Mother's Best Recordings Plus, which is actually this unearthed trove of recordings of Hank Williams, which are culled from this radio show that he was doing, like a little 15-minute radio program where he would like sing jingles and debut new material and kind of joke around with some other DJs. And basically this increased the man's recorded output by about 50%. So it's very strange that, you know, Hank Williams, I mean, this guy is the god of country music, and this really important recording, which is just wonderful, is kind of hiding tucked away deep in the Grammys, deep in the labyrinth of the Grammy nominations.
Where has it been hiding until it got published and was available for Grammy nomination?
I believe these were things that were stored on acetates and kind of uncovered recently, and the recording's just fantastic. I'm surprised it hasn't gotten more press, actually. Mm. It's a wonderful recording. I'm guilty because I haven't written very much about it, but it's just a wonderful, wonderful recording, and you really get to hear this guy and just joking around. It's a treat.
It's a different side of the legendary Hank Williams from 1951 and On Top of Old Smokey.
On Top of Old Smokey, huh? Top of Old Smokey, all covered in snow, I lost my true lover by courting too slow. On top of Old Smokey, I went there to weep for a false-hearted lover. Is worse than a
That is Hank Williams, recorded in 1951 in a version of On Top of Old Smokey, which appears on a compilation called The Complete Mother's Best Recordings Plus, which is up for a Grammy in category number 90, was it, Chris?
That's correct, number 90.
Best Historical Album. There are 109 categories, of which 108 actually have nominees in them this year. We mentioned that Best Regional Mexican did not get enough entries, apparently, and so no nominations were announced and no award will be given. But there will be 108 statues handed out on Sunday, not necessarily on Sunday night during the broadcast. And most of what we're talking about are some of the things that are happening that you won't see when you're looking at Bob Dylan performing live and the Aretha Franklin tribute and Eminem parading up to get one Grammy after another, we're assuming. Sophie, you were looking at another category, Best Hawaiian Music.
Yeah, my eyes widened when I saw that. And actually, I have to say, not being a Hawaiian expert, I was pretty excited about this. And I had dreams of it being something wonderful. I'd never heard this kind of music. And actually, oh, am I going to say this? Yes, I am. Actually, it made me feel like I was in a posh yoga studio, you know?
When you actually listen to the nominees.
And this is one of the kind of contentious things around Hawaiian music is, again, we have one person, this guy Daniel Ho, who's a producer and a guitarist who seems to have this sort of monopoly on the Hawaiian awards. So that's why that sound keeps being this kind of same style of music, which is called slack key guitar.
Mm-hmm. Which was made popular here in the States when the New Age pianist George Winston started releasing recordings of some of these people back in the 90s. So, you know, even before... This is a relatively recent Grammy, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It is pretty recent. But as I say, he's won. He's scooped so many of them, either himself, his compilations, and also he's done a lot of work with Tia Carrera, the Wayne's World star. Who's up for a Grammy? We have Tia is in this category this year, as is Daniel Ho representing himself.
So he's got two nominees then.
He has.
One for himself and one for this piece with Tia Carrera.
Yes.
This is a song called Hey Aloha Mele, up for the Grammy in the Best Hawaiian Album category.
Pretty lovely brown eyes in the still of the night, the stars are shining bright for your brown eyes. Hey Aloha Mele, Elohe Kamakani, gentle breeze whispering haunting melodies to you softly, whisper to you softly. Hear the wind through the trees singing sweet harmonies to you softly. With the grace of her hand she can tell you that a star only glitters in setting up the sunset. With the grace of her hand, she can tell you that the wind only blows when no mountainside is there to touch her. Now the sun and the moon are talking stories, telling tales of...
That is Tia Carrere and Daniel Ho. Together, they are up for the Best Hawaiian Album Grammy, and he is up separately for the Best Hawaiian Album Grammy.
He is.
He has won this, like, all 4 years, or
he has. Well, you see, he has his own label,
and he has a stable of these guitarists.
And he has a stable, so he's generally won it for those. So this is actually his solo debut that he's up for.
Now, what we were just hearing was, in fact, Tia Carrere and Daniel Ho live at the 2009 Grammys.
Mm-hmm.
And Soundcheck listeners, we want to know what you think of the Grammys. I mean, right now, Chris Richards and Sophie Harris are with me to talk about some of the deep cuts. You know, some of the categories that you will not see or hear about on the telecast on Sunday night. What are you looking forward to? What could you live without? Give us a call, 212-433-WNYC, or leave a comment at wnyc.org/soundcheck. We're talking Grammys on Soundcheck today, 212-433-WNYC. Chris, Sophie, I want to direct everyone's attention now to a relatively new category. I believe this is only the second year of it. It's category number 64,
I'm going to test
believe.
You on these.
and it's Best Americana Album.
Hmm.
Chris, have you ever seen a more potent lineup of nominees that far down in the nomination list?
It's pretty great. We got Roseanne Cash, Los Lobos, Robert Plant, Mavis Staples, Willie Nelson. I mean, that's an all-star lineup right there, and very, very competitive. Previous to last year, I guess in 2009, this was merged with contemporary folk. So it was Best Contemporary Folk /Americana Album. They've since bursted those into two different categories. And this Americana Award was given out for the first time last year. Levon Helm won it.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like people are really excited about it. And
well,
obviously, this year is very competitive.
Yeah, I mean, those are five incredible names. Roseanne Cash, Robert Plant with his Band of Joy, Willie Nelson, Los Lobos, Mavis Staples, the album that she did with Jeff Tweedy of Wilco fame. Why do you think they did that, Chris, at a time when, you know, they're sloughing off other categories? Why take one category and break it out into two?
I think to be able to make sure they had places for all this talent to go. You guys were talking earlier when my microphone, I guess, wasn't working about how it's difficult to put all these artists in different boxes. And this seemed like a box that needed to be filled. A lot of these records didn't – if you look at those – five artists, you'd wonder where they belong, and I think that they do belong in an Americana. So but that's the great thing about the Grammys. It's like the two things we love to do about music. We love to agree about it, and we love to disagree about it, and the Grammys really bring that out in so many ways, and this is an example of that.
Sophie, do you agree?
Yeah, I do. I think also one of the really interesting things about the Americana category is the fact that you have Robert Plant, an Englishman, in
right.
it. And, you know, you were talking to Adele earlier, and she was talking about how she'd soaked up all this bluegrass stuff, and this is not something new. Obviously, you have the Stones and Exile, which is like a super American record. So that always kind of tickles me a little bit when you get the Brits showing up in America.
Well, but he's got, you know, this band that's, you know, deeply plugged in to what we're
absolutely.
Now calling roots music.
And rooted,
Or Americana. Who do you think, I mean, it's hard to pick a favorite out of these five. Who do you like, Sophie?
I love Plant, actually. And as I say, for precisely that reason, I think sometimes when you're coming at an art form from an outsider's point of view, you kind of have a more vivid access to it. Like Robert Frank's photo book, The Americans, people say that because he was a foreigner, he kind of absorbed something more potent from it.
Chris, I kind of am wondering if Robert Plant, just from the Led Zeppelin, the name recognition, will walk off with this award. Who do you think should get it?
It's a really tough call for me between Mavis Staples and Willie Nelson. I mean, this is why I would hate to be someone who votes for the Grammys. I couldn't do it. I'd be sitting there up all night with my pen trying to fill in the right bubble on the Scantron sheet. I couldn't get it right. So Staples or Willie, man, I don't know.
All right,
I can't decide.
We will find out on Sunday. It won't be part of the telecast, although this is one of the ones they'll probably mention at some point during the show. But as I say, you know, you watch the telecast, you see something like 10 or 12 Grammys being given out. There are 109 categories, and we are looking at some of the more odd and obscure ones on Soundcheck today. What are you looking at for Sunday's Grammy Awards? Give us a call, 212-433-WNYC, or leave a comment online, wnyc.org/soundcheck. Our Grammy Award coverage continues in just a moment. You're listening to Soundcheck, and this is Roseanne Cash.
And blue, so blue, nothing seems to cheer me under heaven's dome. Miss the Mississippi.
Still to come, more of the less celebrated Grammy nominees, including the many, many different categories in the field of Latin music. That's coming up next.
Roaming the wide world over.
El sol ya estaba cayendo cuando me diste tu cuerpo. Cuando me diste tus besos, cuando me diste tu amor. Ahora ya no.
And the musical obscurities keep on coming on Soundcheck today. I'm John Schaefer. We've been talking about some of the hidden gems and lesser-known nominees at the Grammys this year. In the background is Banda Los Reconditos. They are one of the acts nominated in the category of Best Banda Album, one of many categories set aside for various flavors of Latin music. So many of them, in fact, it can be hard to kind of separate them out. Here to help us do just that is the head of Nacional Records, Tomas Cookman. His label is nominated for 3 awards this year. Tomas, welcome to Soundcheck.
Thank you.
So there are many. I mean, we mentioned the regional Mexican album category before because it's unfilled this year. They didn't accept nominations because there were only a few contenders. But still, can you tell us, for example, the difference between Tejano, Norteño, and Banda, all of which have their own categories?
True. Really simply, for example, Banda music, as you were just playing an example of a nominated act this year, you hear tubas, you hear clarinets. There's bands like Ricolo and the band we just heard, and that's typically a Banda band. Norteño, it's more of the most important instrument there would be the accordion.
Mm-hmm.
And a perfect example would be Tigres del Norte or Intocable, two really great bands of Norteño. Then you get Tejano. And Tejano's an interesting one because it's uniquely American because Tejano's from Texas.
Right.
And there's acts like Little Joe or the Texas Tornadoes, who actually won the Tejano Grammy a couple years back. And once again, the accordion is very much involved, but it definitely has a Texas lean to it all. The last couple of years, Tejano music has gotten less and less popular, even within Texas, from there, which is basically the only market you ever used to sell music in. But lately, there's been a couple new Tejano bands coming out. Yeah, and it's interesting you mentioned about the regional Mexican nominees, and it's definitely not because of the lack of regional Mexican music, because it's actually the biggest market share of any music. I think that somewhere along the line, there was a disconnect, and they actually didn't send enough samples in, because to be nominated, somebody has to send your music in,
mm-hmm.
whether it's your label, whether it's the artist or manager or somebody, but somebody has to send the music in. If you don't send it in, it can't get considered to be nominated. And for whatever reason, that's what happens in the regional Mexican world.
Well, I mean, they are sort of otherwise occupied with a very nasty drug war going on. But
that is true. But interestingly, in the Latin Grammys, and I'm a voter, and you see pages and pages of regional Mexican. Hmm. So those type of silly things happen sometimes. But there's a lot of great regional Mexican music out there, too.
Well, let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to understand what the Academy is thinking when they give Tejano, Norteño, and Banda separate categories, and then they lump into one big category best Latin rock, alternative, or urban album, which must just be a huge category.
It just drives a stake through my heart when they do stuff like that. what's this, about 10, 11 years ago, they had the first one, which wasn't banda or salsa or whatever, and they started with the Rock and Alternative Award. And it was one I was lobbying for years, and it finally came out. I'm like, okay, well, great. There's a Rock and Alternative one. And a couple years later, with the birth and the boom of reggaeton and a couple other urban genres, they started with the urban category. And for whatever reason, for 2-3 years in a row, there were not enough urban releases submitted. So they wisely said, well, there's not many coming in, so we're going to put that category together with Latin rock and alternative and make it one triple bill, which is absolutely insane. And I've been very vocal about it being absolutely insane. When they announced it 2 years ago, I manage a lot of big Latin rock and alternative bands, and I hooked up with the manager of Wisin and Yandel, who's one of the biggest urban reggaeton acts. I mean, those guys tour all over the world. They sell tons of records, record with 50 cents, etc. They definitely have the cred. So we went in as a united front to complain, and they obviously, we're still at the same altars together, so we weren't very successful in getting it back.
Well, but you are successful in getting nominated, at least. Your label has 3 of the 5 nominees in this big umbrella category, Best Latin Rock, Alternative, or Urban Album. And among the nominees is Ana Tijoux, the French-Chilean musician, for her album 1977.
En el vientre de mi madre marcaba el paso siguiente. Nacer llorar sin anestesia en la camilla. Mi padre solo dijo es Ana María. Sí sería el primer llanto que me probaría. Que mandó las heridas y dándome la batería. Solía ser entonces como un libro abierto. Pero leí la letra pequeña del texto. Como un arquitecto construyendo cada efecto. Correcto, incorrecto, se aprende todo al respecto. Saber que algunas personas quieren el daño. Subir peldaño toma tiempo, toma año. Con mi peluche mirando lo cotidiano, dibujos transformaban el invierno en gran verano. Papá me regaló bajo mi insistencia, un juego que trataba de compartir la solvencia. Pero en el patio hicieron la competencia, fue cuando sentí mi primera impotencia. 1970, 1970, 1970. 1977, no me diga no, que no lo presiento. Todo lo que cambia lo hará diferente.
That is Ana Tijoux from the album 1977. That's the title track. It is one of the nominees in the category of Best Latin Rock, Alternative, or Urban Album. It's a record from the Nacional record label. The founder and head of the label is with us on the line. That's Tomas Cookman. So, Thomas, when do they give this Grammy out? Not during the telecast, right?
No, they give it in the pre-telecast. But with all defense of the Grammys, and here I am defending the Grammys, there's 90-something awards in the TV show. If they were to give out so many awards, it would be about a day long.
Right.
I think there's about 13 or 15 awards they give out. And this one, amongst many other. I mean, at the pre-telecast, you'll see Kanye West, you see Lady Gaga. I mean, all these people are getting some of their awards. So it's definitely a big event. And the Grammys stream it live. And so it's become bigger and bigger. In fact, this year we actually have another one of our nominated acts performing at the pre-telecast.
Great. So, I mean, it sounds like that's where the real party might be.
It definitely starts there.
Okay. Chris Richards, I know you're going to the Grammys. I want to ask you about that in just a moment. Let me, first of all, Tomas Cookman, good luck to you and Nacional Records on Sunday night. Thanks for being with us this afternoon.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Well, I want to make a quick detour into the control room because producer Joel Meyer has been moderating some of your comments as they come into the webpage at wnyc.org/soundcheck. Joel, what you got?
John, I think our listener Evie from Brooklyn likes what she's hearing today on Soundcheck. She writes, I always check out the more visual categories, such as the ones for videos, liner notes, and box sets. For the latter two, I always end up checking out and often buying some of those selections. Here's what Aaron, who from northern New Jersey, I think is where Aaron is from. This is what Aaron has to say. In general, the Grammys seem simply ossified. It's an industry party for industry folks. Insular, academic, superfluous, boring.
anybody care to disagree, Sophie?
I mean, the thing is, you know, the Grammys does have a rep as being kind of fuddy-duddy and behind the times. It's like, oh, we didn't give you two that award when they made an important record, so we'll just give it to them now, mm-hmm. and that kind of thing. But on the other hand, the Grammys are voted for by musicians, session musicians, producers. They are voted for by the industry, so there's only kind of so much muck you can throw at them.
Yeah. Chris?
I'd say in terms of that fuddy-duddiness, too, it really changed last year. I felt like it was a really big turning point with Taylor Swift and Gaga being celebrated, so prominently. I felt like it was a move away from, you know, celebrating legacy artists. I felt like last year was kind of a fresh turn, and I wonder if we're seeing a little bit more of that this year as well.
How important are the live performances?
I think they're a huge draw to get people to watch it on television, absolutely. And, you know, every year the Grammys try to do this thing where they have this sort of transgenerational, everybody put their arms around each other and sing. You know, we have this moment where Bob Dylan is going to sing with the Abbott Brothers and Mumford & Sons, and I'm
right.
very curious to see how that goes off. Last year...
And Mick Jagger is doing something.
Yeah, he's with Rafael Sadiq, I believe.
Right, right.
Doing a duet. So they're really into trying to, like, you know, bridge the years and bridge the genres, which is admirable, but very rarely does it work. I mean, last year we had this Taylor Swift... Stevie Nicks duet, which was kind of a full-scale disaster, so which was, you know, a really sharp contrast to the fact that she won Album of the Year. But I do think that last year we saw a little bit of a turning point of the Grammys trying to skew a little younger and, you know, connect with people who are still buying music and are interested in music. So,
Sophie,
we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the thing is, I love those big everyone hugs each other performances. And actually, I think that even if they're not very good, as in the Stevie Nicks, Taylor Swift debacle, it's so entertaining. Who doesn't want to watch that? Not me.
Well, now, let me ask you guys about, I mean, I was looking over some of the nominees. And, you know, Cyndi Lauper, Best Traditional Blues. Who knew?
Yeah, she's found her true colors. I mean, she thinks that she's actually said, she said in interviews that she feels like she was born to sing these sorts of records. And actually, when you first get to listening to these songs, you are kind of aware of her high, slightly bubblegummy voice. But because she's older, she has that slightly more grizzled tone, and she's in them. You know, she really inhabits these songs, and it's a great record.
The record is called Memphis Blues. Surprise nominee? Well, maybe a surprise category, let's put it that way, from Cyndi Lauper.
Of days gone by, makes me want to sit right down and cry. All the plans I had, and what it turned to, just shattered dreams.
Cyndi Lauper, Shattered Dreams, is from her album Memphis Blues, which has been nominated in the category of Best Traditional Blues. Some of the other kind of odd nominees that I noticed, Bobby McFerrin in Best Classical Crossover for an album that consists entirely of vocal music, which, you know, he sort of put together in the studio. I'm not sure where the classical is, although the crossover is certainly there. Laurie Anderson in Best Pop Instrumental, which is also a weird one.
It is.
And I don't know about you guys, but the idea that in 2011 Paul McCartney could win a Grammy Award for the song Helter Skelter, I don't know what to make of
it's
that.
It's Sir Paul, though, John.
But still, I mean, Helter Skelter.
No, it's a very bizarre choice. And particularly because wasn't he performing that song, that very song, on the Grammys in 2009, something like that? I don't know.
Chris, you actually go to these. You're going on this weekend. You've been to them before. What is it like there?
The energy is really intense. The pre-telecast goes by so quickly. They're going through these categories faster than you could believe because they read all the names.
Faster than we just did?
Yes, yes. It's insane. I mean, and it's mind-boggling how quickly it actually happens. It's almost like surreal how fast it unfolds. And you can watch it on the live streaming on Grammy.com. And if you're interested, check it out. It's very, very interesting to see how fast it moves. And then the show starts. Now it's time for the razzmatazz. The performances are happening, and there's a lot more razzle-dazzle, more lights. But if you want to see that whole Grammy experience on Fast Forward, get online earlier in the day and check it out. It's really something to see.
All right. Chris, you'll check back in with us on Monday when you get back from the big party out there?
I would love to.
All right. Chris Richards of The Washington Post with us from the studios of The Washington Post in D.C., and Sophie Harris, music writer of Time Out New York. And Sophie, Chris, nice speaking with you today.
Thank you.
Hey, thanks.
And in the back, you hear Paul McCartney, Helter Skelter. Yes, an old Beatles tune, but up for a Grammy nomination this year in the category of Best Solo Rock Vocal Performance. And that's going to do it for Soundcheck today. On our next program, a look back at the legendary Harlem stage, the Apollo, where icons like Ella Fitzgerald and James Brown got their start. Plus, singer-songwriter John Wesley Harding performs live and tells us about his latest literary endeavor as the novelist Wesley Stace. Soundcheck's technical director is Irene Trudell. Our engineer today was Jim Briggs. The program produced by Greta Cohn with Nona Willis-Aronowitz. Our senior producer is Joel Meyer. We had help today from Margaret Bresnahan and Tiffany Kamhai. I'm John Schaefer. Be with us again at this time tomorrow for another Soundcheck.